sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, the first day of August 2025 edition, Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us as usual every Friday from 10 to 11 in this second hour, Pastor Chatfield and I do a history lesson discussion. And I want to tee you up with a bunch of questions for each segment, sir. The first one, what if George Washington would not have won at Trenton and Princeton? Let's go back to the Revolutionary War, the founding of our country. Pastor Jeff, what would happen if Washington had not won those two battles?
Well, I first of all, God is in control of everything. So the what ifs, we got a lot of what ifs questions here that I'm suggesting. I think the historical consensus is we could not have won our independence without winning those two. See, we, in earlier 1776, we forced the British to evacuate Boston. They left. But from March, April in 76, all the way up until Trenton, over six months, we had zero victories. Washington's armies was almost captured after the disastrous loss on Long Island. They escaped to Manhattan Island and then escaped again to the mainland due to fog and night. And Washington's army was chased west and south until they crossed the Delaware River. And it was perilous. The men's enlistment papers were running up. Things were very, very dark. In a sense, what Washington was doing, crossing the Delaware River on Christmas night, 1776, was very risky. On the other hand, it's not that risky because you either did this or the whole thing was going to collapse. It's like saying, in a football analogy, it's fourth and 35 on your own 5-yard line. Well, you've got to go for it. You're going to try some trick play, something. And it worked. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so we crossed the Delaware River, captured Trenton, then went up 9 days later, captured Princeton. It gave a gigantic boost of morale and confidence to the Americans. And people reenlisted. Congress was going to give more money. And strategically, it forced the British to think, well, maybe we're not going to try to simply focus on New England. Maybe we'll start moving to the middle colonies. And it opened up the door for us, the victories at Trenton and Princeton later, that we would capture Saratoga, which we came, which is generally known as the turning point of the war. Now I'm starting to say in my own self, I got to call Trenton the turning point of the war. Without it, it is very possible the revolution collapses, and we'd be speaking English today. There you go. Who knows
the proper Queen's English?
Who knows? Who knows? Right. But it was very important, and the crossing of the Delaware, the forcing of the British to give up Trenton and all those Hessian soldiers. Our republic would have died in infancy without that. I think that's true. Now, obviously,
before it was ever even born, it would have died.
Hardly, pretty close. Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Great. Got to tee you up with another question in the next segment. We're going to fast forward a little bit to the Civil War. I'm Trucker Randy. He's Pastor Rusty Chatfield. Short break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, August 1st, in our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. This next segment, I'd like you to answer this question. What if General Sherman had not captured Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, during the Civil War, he September 1864, Sherman had been chasing this Johnston, I think it was the Southern general, all through Northern Georgia, one battle to another battle to another battle, and he kept retreating. But he gets close to Johnston as the South, the Confederacy, retreats. He gets close to Atlanta, and he stalls. And everybody's reading about this. Everybody wants to get, everybody knows the Union needs to capture Atlanta. Atlanta's was the, it was the hub of the South. It was Atlanta and Richmond were the two big cities in the South. They were the two places. I mean, it was awfully important to get Atlanta, because that's where they had the railroads and they shipped out a lot of their goods. So they had to get Atlanta. Strategically very important. It was from Atlanta later that Sherman would have his famous march to the sea and then go through Georgia and South Carolina and burn and basically try to discourage the South and deplete them of all the resources. So you had to get Atlanta.
So in that process, and it's very interesting, the history of it, Atlanta was the main shipping hub where all the spokes of the wheel of Atlanta, if you look at a map of today even, General Eisenhower, when they laid out the interstate system, they put these hubs, these wheels around major cities. And every single shipping depot, road, lane still exists today. I don't know if you know this or not, but when I was truck driving and I was down in Atlanta, Center for Disease Control, Coca-Cola, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And actually, I was in the Coca-Cola's oldest warehouse in downtown Atlanta, picking up a load to bring back to Michigan. And I was talking to the foreman on the dock, and the high-load drivers were running in and out of my trailer and putting in pallets, and I was loading up. And I said to him, "This building is ancient." I said, "How old is this building?" He laughed at me. And he said, "Trucker," he says, "this building dates back prior to the Civil War." And I went, "Shut up." He's like, "No, dude." He said, "We had to literally install these doors for you semi-trucks, but they were the same openings that they used to use with wagons transporting gunpowder, cannons, cannonballs, muskets, all kinds of rifles, all kinds of things that they had back during the Civil War was in this building." He said, "We've even found remnants of dust when we were cleaning it out, getting it ready to take over for Coca-Cola. We found gunpowder, residue gunpowder that had weeped out of the barrels and had found its way into the nooks and crannies of the foundation of the building in the corners." And I'm like, so this, what you're saying, by them having to take Atlanta, and then later, like you said, the 300-mile-wide swath of Sherman's march to the sea from Atlanta all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, it took place right here in those buildings that I was picking up Coca-Cola back in the 2000s when I was a truck driver. This is why Atlanta was so critically important?
Yes, it was critically important. Now, most historians that I've looked up, I've tried to, what they say, I'll call myself a historian. I got my own opinion. They'll say, look, trajectory of the war is already done. In other words, yes, it would have taken the Union longer, but the South's resources were already very much depleted. The Union, northern part of the country, had way more industrial power, way more men, that the North was going to win the war. And while not taking Atlanta would have slowed the process, there was no way the South was going to win that war. And I'm not so sure of that. And I'm not so sure that that is true. Remember this. We call the turning point of the war Gettysburg, July 1, 2, and 3 of 1863. However, there are an awful lot of battles. So Battle of Cold Harbor, I think it was June of 1864, where the Union forces took a terrible loss. It was terrible there in Virginia. I mean, there were a lot of battles following Gettysburg, and there was a lot of back and forth. And the biggest issue here is if we don't take... And I say we, talking about the Union, the North, if we don't take Atlanta, the election coming in 1864, the re-election of Abraham Lincoln, maybe, or at least I'll say probably wouldn't have happened, and let's say it wouldn't have happened, if it wouldn't have happened, if McClellan would have won that election, he'd already campaigned on the idea that he was to negotiate with the South and let him go. He wins that election in 1864, that because this Atlanta isn't taken, because Lincoln doesn't win the election, the re-election of 1864. Then who knows? Here's what Lincoln said in August of 1864. He said this: "This morning, as for some days past, it seems exceedingly probable that this administration will not be re-elected." He said, it's likely we're going to lose, and lose badly, because everybody was so, so tired of the war. Lincoln continues, "Then it will be my duty to so cooperate with the president-elect, McClellan, as to save the Union between the election and the inauguration, as he will have secured his election on the grounds that he cannot possibly save it afterwards." In other words, McClellan couldn't go on with the war if he'd have won. Because he'd campaigned, "Hey, let's end this war. Let's let them go. Let's negotiate. Let them have their own Confederacy." Now, Lincoln put this in a note to give to his cabinet, and he didn't read it to him. Because if you lose this election, we're going to lose the war. And here's what I'm maintaining. That was and he thought in 1864 that he was going to lose badly in August. But when... Sherman took Atlanta, it went through all the papers of the North. Atlanta surrenders. And everybody says, "Well, we're going to win this war. Let's see it through." And the ones that were for negotiation and capitulation, really capitulation to the South, let them go. Yeah. They lost. The strategic part was important, but the political part was more important. Lincoln had to win that war, win that election, or we would not have survived as a nation. Well,
So basically, keeping the Union intact and not allowing the South to succeed and become basically their own country within our continental United States boundaries, basically saving the Union and keeping the country together. You're alleging, you're saying, connecting the dots, had he not won that battle, Sherman had not won in Atlanta, then the election would have been lost, McClellan would have been president, he would have negotiated a settlement to allow the South to permanently succeed, and we would have been a divided country.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. I think that's true. See, here's the argument from the other side, from other historians, they say, "Well, no, look. We were so much more powerful. It's so many more resources." Yes, but you're forgetting the political calculations here. There were so many Union Northerners had died, along with Southerners, of course. We would have said, "Forget it. It's too much. Too high a cost. Let them go." If Sherman was still stalled outside Atlanta when the election came in November. I mean, elections the politics and popular opinion make a big difference. And in this case, a huge difference, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It just didn't secure the idea of Lincoln winning. It gave him the election when that happened.
Well, and for people to stop a moment and think about this, look at the time between our August primaries here in the state of Michigan, when we elect and find out who our candidates are going to be on the November ballot, look at how short of a time frame that is between an August primary and then you go out into your general campaigning against the other party and go to the ballot in November. That's what you're basically talking about here, is the same amount of time we experience and have lived through many, many times from the August primary to the November election. That was all the time they had to get this information out. I mean, we didn't have TV. We didn't have radio. It was the newspapers and word of mouth and spreading the word, spreading the gospel, if you will, of that victory in Atlanta in August that helped then Lincoln win the election in November. That's not a whole lot of time to get the information out back that then during that time.
Right. See, after the fall of Atlanta, it made McClellan look a little bit silly. Now we look back and we say, phew, I'm glad that guy didn't get elected president. But at the time, in the middle of a terrible civil war, with people dying on both sides, we were tired of war. Without the leadership of Lincoln saying, we have to see this through. This is important. America is the world's last best hope. That's what Lincoln said. I mean, what would history have been like with a divided America? I mean, what would have happened to slavery? I have people, in my opinion, speak nonsense. Well, slavery would have died out, would it? You sure? I mean, there were Southerners, not all Southerners, but were if they'd have succeeded, they wanted to spread slavery to Mexico and all of Latin America and make the whole Western Hemisphere from the Mason-Dixon line south one gigantic area for slavery. We had to win the war. Slavery was a great evil. And I'm not saying all Southerners are evil. I'm not saying that. But nevertheless, the institution of slavery is evil.
Sure.
And we would have not been able to stop. I mean, obviously, we'd have been the North. And Lincoln pointed this out in his first inaugural. The slave trade, which was kind of we didn't outlaw slavery before the Civil War, but we did outlaw the slave trade. We got that far. But if the South would have won, the slave trade would have been revived. And there'd been way more slaves brought over into the United States. Slaves fled north, then what would have happened? We wouldn't return to any of them, and the South would have had the Confederate States of America would have had a gigantic bone to pick with the North, because we were going to return slaves. In other words, we had the Fugitive Slave Act, and we had slave trade bringing more slaves from Africa that was banned. But if the South would have won, I mean, we would not have had cordial relations with the Confederacy. And the abolitionists, what would they have said? We need to invade the South and free the slaves? Do you think they'd have said that? Maybe. I don't know. But who knows what the future would have held? Even though it is true, the North had vast advantages in men, manpower, supplies, railroads. The South was determined. So the taking of Atlanta, I think, is critically important.
Absolutely. And kept the country united. And Lincoln won re-election. That happened. And then the rest, like they say, was history. We're going to continue on in this next segment. I want to tee you up and talk about World War II and a very strategic battle of Midway. I have a little family history with that battle as well. Bomb the hour news break of this history lesson discussion with Pastor Chad Fail. I'm Trucker Randy. We're your defending fathers. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan.